Well, if you're listening to this, you have reached the end of the Dallas Stars season, and it's kind of a miserable way to end. Me and K-Fitz, we will talk about it starting right now. And there he is now. We have reached
the upset. The very, very disappointed and upset.
Well, this is the show to do it, man. This is the end of the season show. This is where you talk about what the heck happened to end the series. This is your chance to tell me what you thought about the team as a whole. What do they have going for them? What do they have missing? Everything in between. K-Fitz, what you got for me?
All right. Well, first let's focus on some positives before we get into negatives, because I don't like living in a negative world, but unfortunately there's a lot right now. So positives, I mean, we did good. Robo had an amazing season. Most points by any star, Dallas Star, that is. You know, Johnston had a really good rookie season. Kind of upset that he wasn't considered. Anyway, we'll get into that later. But, you know, he had an amazing, you know, rookie season. Ottinger was Ottinger, you know, sometimes great, sometimes not so good. But for the most part, he did an outstanding job in net. We had some good call-ups from the Texas Stars, namely, especially Matt Miller, who's a up-and-coming goalie, and I kind of look forward to this kid's future and seeing where it goes. We did make the playoffs. I think we made it further in the playoffs than we first initially thought we would, or thought we should, to be honest with you. So, yeah, those are kind of my positives.
Okay. Yeah, I like to, if I can piggyback off that. Yeah, man, Wyatt Johnston was definitely worth the hype. He was worth every
minute. Should have been considered.
Say again?
Should have at least been in the running or in consideration.
For the Calder?
Calder Cup, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That kid, and look, here's the
thing. Played his heart out?
Huh?
He played his heart out.
He did. And let me add this on here too. He played a little bit longer in the season than Matty Beniers, who, by the way, the Stars put down like an old dog.
Yeah,
that's a little gruesome. I apologize, but you know it's the freaking truth. The Calder Cup needs not to be just about scoring. It needs to be about the most impact a rookie can have on their team, because Mr. Johnston, by the way, ESPN, it's Johnston, not Sin.
Yes. Not Johnston. 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 There's a T in there.
He was the best player, in my mind, sometimes, on the whole freaking team.
Look what he did in the playoffs.
That's my point. Like, if you're going to award the Calder to a rookie, it needs to be across everything he did through the season.
Everything. Exactly. Look at some of the shots Johnston got off. I mean, some of the creative shots that he got off. Not just the normal, regular shots. The kid's creative. And that's one thing that I really like and am looking forward to this kid's career because of his creativeness, and it's only going to get better. And with him living with Pavelski, of course, he's got him a heck of a mentor right there.
Oh, boy, does he ever. They don't call him Captain America because he's pretty.
No, and he did a phenomenal job. My hat's off to Pavelski. He did an outstanding job in these playoffs. Ty Dellandrea, you know, we wouldn't have made it to where we made it in this night's series if it weren't for him. My hat's off to him. He almost had a Hattie the other night. You know, it just seemed like those that we weren't really counting on kind of really stepped up, and those that we were counting on in these playoffs kind of let us down.
I kind of want to correct part of that because I feel like I told you at one point Dellandrea was going to be a kid to watch for.
Well, yeah, I'm not so much talking about Dellandrea. I'm talking about, you know, it just seemed like, you know, we were kind of counting on a lot of play from Robo and our captain, and we'll talk about Ben here in a minute and why I think we lost it, why I think we lost that last game, and why I think if Coach DeBoer would have just not done what he did, I think we'd still be in the fight. But we'll get into that when we discuss why I think we lost this last game.
And, you know, I'm going to add something else to the DeBoer thing. Coach, you have lived up to every little bit of hype surrounding you, man. The first year team, Western Conference Finals, and yet here we are losing once again. Because that's part of his little resume. He takes him to the Western Conference Finals in the first year and loses.
Yeah. So let's hope they give him a second year, because I don't want to see him go. I want him to learn from this major mistake that he made. And I understand why he made it. And I put myself in his shoes and the position he's in. Oh, hell, let's just go ahead and get into it while we're talking about it. So here's the big mistake that he made. He let Ben play again. So here's what I would have done. If I were in his position, yes, I understand Ben had to serve his two-game suspension. I think it should have been more. The more I watch that play, the more egregious it is. I do agree with a lot of folks. I think it is. I don't know if I would call it the worst penalty of the season, but it does rank up there in my opinion. He blatantly. That penalty was just, it was as blatant as you can be. He looked up almost like he was looking into the camera when he did it, and looked down and just thrust his stick. And I'm sorry, if that would have been against a Stars player, I would have been up in arms as well. So I apologize to the Golden Knights for that play from our captain, because that's just uncalled for. Now, if I were in Coach Pete DeBoer's shoes, I would have told Ben, look, I know you want to play, but listen to me on this. If we put you in there, we're going to give them an emotional boost, because they're going to want to come after us just because you're now in there. They're going to want to target us. Number two, Pete DeBoer changed three lines around from the two games that we won just to accommodate Ben coming back. That affects chemistry. That affects the way that these guys play with each other. It affects on so many different levels. On top of that, we were missing Dadonov in that last game. Those are my three key factors. Number one, letting Ben play. Number two, switching up three lines, making three switches in the lines to accommodate Ben coming back. And then, of course, Dadonov, who has been a major help in these playoffs.
I have no argument. You're exactly right. Although Jamie, he needs to do better. And while we're on the subject of do better, the Stars fans need to do better.
Well, I was going to cover that here in a little bit, but yeah, that was horrible.
It's just a little thing that's been nipping at my soul just a little bit. Like, the diehard fans, you know, we talk trash, yeah, and we'll talk crap all over social media, whatever. But we would never throw anything at any player. At all. Not our own. Not the opposing player. Not even a referee. No. So, to the whole NHL, any fan base that might be listening, man, don't take the word of a very few group of people, very small group of people, as the whole. Okay? We're not all like that. Those guys were probably just people that had the money and they just wanted to go say they were part of the season. And I know every fan base, by the way, has the trashy, you know, those people.
Oh, yeah. You know, look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia has some phenomenal fans, but they also have some fans that are quite questionable. Every fan base, I believe, has.
Yeah, they do. So, on behalf of the good fans, I want to apologize because, yeah, you know, we don't mean any disrespect. We really don't. We love our team. We respect you. But, you know, we're here to do a job. And we're here to witness the team do a job. So, you know, I'll get off my soapbox after that. I just wanted to say, don't take the word of a few as the word of the whole.
Well, and the bad part about it is, and here's my point on it, not saying that I would justify it either way, but it was they reacted that way because the Stars were losing. And the Stars were losing without, you know, there was no controversy in why they were losing. There was no controversy in why Ben was pulled out of that game for his hit. You know, that you can't sit there and say, oh, that's not right, that's BS. Even in the heat of the moment, you could see that was not a bad call. That was the right call. I think the bad call was just the single two-game suspension. I truly believe it should have been more, and I'm sorry, but I am a Stars fan, and I'm a hockey fan, and I call it like I see it. I will call the good with the bad. I am not always going to look through rose-colored glasses and say my team is the best, and they do no wrong, because I know that is a falsehood, and anybody who believes that of any team, of any league, really needs to wake up. As great as Michael Jordan was in the NBA, he also had his flaws.
Oh, heck yeah. All the greats, Wayne Gretzky, Emmitt Smith, everybody that is in your head had to fail to get there.
Yep.
To the level of greatness. And, you know, that brings to mind a thought on Jamie Benn, because I do like the player. I've told you several times I love him. You know, he seems like a good guy off the ice, but he does seem a tad bit tantrumy. I think I've told you that too. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But
no, I agree with you.
I swear I've told you that. Those words have come out of my mouth. He's a good player, but he's tantrumy. And, you know, in terms of team leadership, I'm going to tell you as a diehard fan that I want somebody to represent my team that's willing to fight. Not cheap shot anybody, not sit on a fan, nothing like that. I want somebody that is willing to get their hands dirty, get dirt in under their fingernails, and work for that team, because that is what's going to win. You know, sometimes, what's the saying? The only thing that outlasts talent is hard work. Is that right? Something like that?
I believe something like that.
it's along the lines that, you know, effort will always outlast talent. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that off my chest. Like, you don't have to be the best player ever. Brendan Morrow was not the best player ever. He'll tell you that. But why do we know him? Because he was ready to go.
You know who understood that saying the best?
Who's that?
Herb Brooks. Herb Brooks understood that, you know what, you may not be the best team on that ice, but by God, they're not going to outwork you. You are going to work and work and work. And eventually that work is going to pay off. And it did. And he was famous for having that mentality. You know, when he went to build that USA team in the 80s, you know, he already knew before anybody came on that ice, just because of his research and the kind of players that he was looking for. He wasn't looking for the best players. He was looking for the ones that had the heart. He was looking for the ones that weren't going to quit when the going got tough. He wanted those players that had that grit, that true grit, that nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to keep me down. I may have a bad night tonight, but by God, tomorrow I'm going to come back and I want to go full bore. But at least I might have had a bad night, but it wasn't for lack of effort. The Stars really need to learn from that. Because, granted, with all the changes and with Ben being in there and with the Knights being on this tear, that lack of effort the other night was egregious.
I'm going to piggyback off of this and say that we've both said that on a consistent basis, not just in the playoffs. This team has no killer instinct.
And is the most inconsistent team I think I've ever seen.
It really is. It's like they left their heart in the very first part of the season.
Yeah, all season. You know, first of all, how are you number one all season just to drop the ball towards the end? But well, it's a story that's following this franchise. You cannot go into overtime that many times and expect to win. You cannot go into overtime that many times and lose and expect to win in this league.
I agree. And you also cannot expect one player to carry you either.
This is true too.
You spoke on Jake Oettinger, and for the majority of the whole season, man, they rode him like he was some freaking stud racehorse. And you know the kid's gonna be exhausted in this part of the playoffs after being ridden for what, 60 plus games?
Exactly.
So
how many games did I say that they should have rested Oettinger and they didn't? And what happened? He got tired.
See, and here's the thing. Like, you tested Oettinger in the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, he said, okay, and he was up for the challenge. Like, you have Matt Murray. He's on the edge of being ready to go. Scott Wedgwood was hurt. You know what you should have done? You should have maybe scratched somebody else or sent him down to Cedar Park and called Mr. Matt Murray up, because you got people down in Boise, Idaho?
Yes.
The Steelheads. You got people down there in the Steelheads, Remy Poirier and the like. I'm not sure who all their goalies are, but Poirier is the one that came to mind because he's pretty good. And, you know, they're in the finals, I believe, of their league as well.
Yeah, they're the last of our teams. They're the last one standing.
So, with that being said, in my analytical mind, my very sports-minded management mind, I'm looking at Poirier and the goalies down there, and I'm looking at Scott Wedgwood going, something's missing. You know, what if you could have prevented Wedgwood being hurt? What if you could have prevented that whole fiasco by having Matt Murray and calling up somebody from Idaho? You know, Matt Murray showed me this whole season, the few games that he played, that he's ready.
Yeah.
Like, He wasn't on the Jake Oettinger stage. Don't get me wrong. I love Otter. And, you know, I'm not saying he needs to go anywhere. But, actually, I'd be the first one to fight for him, if I'm being honest. But, you know, Scott Wedgwood got hurt. can't control that. You know, maybe it was his body. I don't freaking know. Injuries happen. That's the bottom line. But you should have had somebody in line that was ready to go. And, you know, the talent in Idaho is very deep. So it doesn't matter who you put in net. The rest of them are going to make up for it. And that's what the Stars have been missing, too. In the big leagues, no matter who's in net, they should make up for it. And they didn't. They absolutely did not.
And it shouldn't come down to Weston Ottinger once we're down two or three or four goals. You know, honestly, truly, starting this series, I agree with you. I think they should have been brought Matt Miller up. Game one is kind of one of those, it's not a pivotal game. The Stars have proven that we can lose game one, but yet still win a series. We did it throughout this whole playoffs. I think that first game against the Knights, I think you should have rested Ottinger. You know, give the man a rest. If you won that night, great. If you lost, you lost anyway. But at least your star goalie is getting a night of rest to come back the next night and possibly win and send you home instead of 0-2. At least a 1-1 record.
Yeah, I mean, the talent around that team, though, I don't think it would have mattered who was in net, because when they decide they quit, they don't fool around.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you got players like Ekholm on the Knights, who's just phenomenal. I mean, hard to defend against by anybody. And the line that he's on, I want to say, in pretty much all the games, I mean, I think that line scored the most out of any line for the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and Eichel didn't even score a goal at all.
No, Eichel did not score, but just his play alone puts other players in position. And also, just the fear of a player like that. And once again, Ottinger was just not getting the backup that he needed.
I blame that on the defense. Actually, it's the whole dang team. Because if you're not going to back up your last line of defense with defense, then you better freaking score. And they did not score. They did not score at all when they needed to. And yes, I will go on the record as saying that. They kind of lollygagged. You know, it's like
they allowed games to get out of hand too early.
Yeah, they really did. And let me ask you this. The way that they played them in the regular season, I don't care if it was overtime, regulation, whatever. Where was the puck pursuit? Like, when Vegas scored one goal, two goals were coming a minute and 30-something seconds later almost every time.
Right.
Why? My question for this team is, where the heck is your defense? Miro cannot do it himself. And I will take this to my grave that Miro Heiskanen is the best defender on that team. I will fight to the death on that one. Y'all need to load him up.
Yeah, I would say Miro's number one, followed by a close second tie between Suter and Hakanpää.
Suter, I saw being lambasted in some of these Stars groups I'm in because he wasn't making enough plays.
He wasn't. He's one of those players I was a little disappointed in because I was kind of looking forward to his play, especially coming into this series against the Knights, and it really wasn't there.
That's the thing. Like, where's the puck pursuit? Where's the passion? Where's the energy? How come Rupe? How come Robo? How come Delandria? How come those are the only three that I can name right off the top of my head that brought the passion and energy? And I can't think of anybody else.
I think it starts from the top, though, because where was the passion and the energy from our captain?
He was worried about sitting on players. And blaming the freaking ice for making him slip.
Oh, don't get me started on his excuse that, you know, let me tell you where he could have won me back. Because right now, I'm still on the fence. I like him as a player for the most part, but right now, if the Stars traded him tomorrow, it wouldn't break my heart. I hate to say that, but it's the truth right now, the way I feel about him. And it's not even so much for the play. I understand the plays happen. Sometimes things happen in the heat of the moment. But to sit there and come out, and number one, make every excuse in the book. Instead of just owning up to it, you know, hey, what's wrong with coming out and saying, I made a bad play. I made a bad decision. Yes, I'm the captain. I should know better. I was heated because it was a heated series at this point. We were down 2-0. I saw a possible opportunity, and I took it, and it was the wrong decision. And I apologize to my teammates. I apologize to my team. I apologize to my fans. I apologize to the Golden Knights and to the player that I did that to. Because it was wrong and I shouldn't have done it. I will do better. What's wrong with doing that? Instead of coming out, well, the ice tripped me. And I wasn't intentionally. It was not an intentional. Have you watched the video of yourself? You looked up as if you were looking in the camera or to see if anybody was looking. You then looked down, leaned back, thrusted forward.
Pounced on him.
I'm no physics major, but I do know a little bit about physics and how that works. And if it was the ice that had tripped you, it would have been one singular motion of you going down and coming down, and maybe you were trying to catch yourself with your stick and your hands just came up and it happened. No, that is not what happened. Watch the video. You clearly see, as they went down, Ben is pretty much on his knees, looks up, looks down, thrusts forward, and thrusts his hands into the opposing player. That's a dirty play. That is a dirty play. And look, dirty plays are going to happen. And I'm fine with dirty plays happening. It happens on both sides. You know, we've had dirty plays come against us. It goes the same way. However, when you do a dirty play, own up to it. Man up to it. You are in a man's league. This is an adult league. We understand the emotions can get high, but we want to be told the truth about things. We want you to come out and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's just like in my job that I do. I can't catch everything. You know, there are some things that I miss. Sometimes I get in a hurry. We all get in hurries. However, when my supervisor comes to me and says, hey, you missed this. If I sit there and I start, well, you know, it started raining and there was a dog that was loose and I had to hurry up and get to my van and I didn't think about it. No, I mean, he's going to look at me and say, no, I don't want excuses. No, I look at him and I say, you know what? I missed it. I must have gotten in a hurry. It won't happen again. And we move on. And that's what I expect from, especially our captain. You know, and I'm not trying to say if it was another player, I might give him a little bit of leniency, a little leeway. Because I might for like a Wyatt Johnson, who's a rookie and in the league and new. I might give him a little bit more leniency and say, okay, he's trying to cover his butt and he's trying to make himself not look so bad. Okay, I get it. But when you're the captain of the team and you're who that team is looking for leadership, you are in a leadership role. You have to set the example. And when you make a mistake, own up to that mistake and move on. Don't make excuses. And I feel like that whole BS explanation, and you can't even say it was an apology because it wasn't. I did not feel one time while he was talking that he was sorry for what he did or why or what happened. It was more of a, let me explain how it happened and why it happened. And it wasn't even a true explanation. And that's what makes it even worse.
You know, you bring to mind two thoughts from me as well. Like, that one clearly sounds like an immaturity issue. And two, when you had a guy like Hatcher or Morrow, the guys that do play physical, and you know, they're just ready to go to do anything they can to help the team, they didn't get labeled constantly. And we've talked about this off mic and everything in between, how I've told you Jamie Benn is labeled a dirty player, you know, through this social media, that social media, this article, that article. I've told you they're labeling Jamie as a dirty player. And I don't have any words for it. Like,
well, after a play like that, how can you argue that?
It breaks my heart because you know I'd defend this team with my last breath and everybody on it. But I don't like his... Yeah, he's there for the team and he's a good leader some of the time, but in times of desperation, man, he does that.
And that was the worst time for him to do that. You are down 2-0 in these playoffs. It is a critical game. You really needed to win that game. And to do it, not only do that, but do it so early. I made a joking comment, and I mean, yeah, it was kind of a joke, but in all seriousness, the more I looked at that, the more I was like, really? I mean, seriously, it was kind of a whole, I wonder if he had a bet on the game, you know, because the way he did it, it was like he was almost wanting to be taken out. There's no way he could possibly think that type of a play is not going to result in him being removed from the game for misconduct and then eventually suspended. And not only that, but you're giving a team that's dominating you 5 minutes of power play.
And they scored twice.
The first two minutes of it were, I believe it was 3-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had already had somebody else. We were already on the penalty. So that put us down 2 men.
Yep.
You know, when you are the captain, you need to correct the ship. You don't scuttle the ship. And I feel like he scuttled the ship. He just said, you know what? I'm taking her down.
That sucker was removing nails, boards, and rivets and everything in between just so that ship would sink.
Yeah. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, look at how well they played without him in there. In games 4 and 5, the Stars played magnanimously. I mean, perfectly. And won those 2 games. Proved that they can win against this team. And if I were DeBoer, I would have said, I'm not reinventing the wheel. We lost before when we had the lineup the way it was. I would have said, you know what? I'm running with this. We are on a winning streak. I'm not changing it. Why he changed it, I don't know. I can't for the life of me. And I mean, I guess it's because statistics tell you. Well, you know what? I am not a big follower of statistics. I hate it when people point out, oh, well, you know, in game 6 scenarios, the Stars are blah, 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 or Coach DeBoer is blah, blah, blah. No. Every game is different. Every scenario is different. And you're looking at statistics for over a time period as opposed to looking at what's going on right now.
You and I both did that, though, through every series. Off microphone. We both did that. You're like, I told you this, this, and this, and you're like, no, because this, this, and that.
Right.
And it was statistically related, and I was only right once.
As a fan, you're going to do that because you want to think positive of your team. So you want to focus on whatever positives you can find. But when you are a coach, you cannot look at those type of things, and you've got to look at what is working right now. You know, it's just like, I mean, I hate to say it. It's just like in the NFL. Let's say you've got a starting quarterback. Let's say you got Tom Brady. And I'm not a big fan of Tom Brady, but you cannot doubt how great of a player he is. But let's say you've got Tom Brady. And let's say for the first four games, you've lost. You are 0-4. And then Tom Brady goes down to an injury. You bring in his backup, be it a rookie, be it whoever. And then you go on an 11-game win streak, and you're 11-4 now. Tom Brady is all of a sudden better. I think you're a fool to put him in there because the chemistry has now changed on that team.
Yeah.
And you have got to be smart enough. Now, granted, if all of a sudden you lose a game or two, then you might want to try Brady back. But I think if you go on an 11-game win streak with this new quarterback and he's doing great and everything is running on all cylinders, I think you're a fool to pull him just because of the name Brady. Because guess what? We all slip. We all fall. It happens. We're human. We're built that way. No matter how great of an athlete you are, eventually your time is going to come. And every athlete has to face that. Whether they want to or not, it's going to happen. And that's why, as a coach, sometimes you cannot focus on, well, he's our captain, and we need him in there. I don't think we need Ben in there. I really don't. I don't think he contributed enough to the team to justify bringing him back. Now, if you want to bring him back, say let's say we force a game seven and we won game seven and now we're in the Stanley Cup Finals. That's when you bring him back because now it's a clean slate. We're going against the team. It's a clean slate. They don't have that animosity. They don't have that bad blood that's going to boil them over. You know, truth be told, I mean, honest and truly, do you know why we won the Minnesota series, that first series?
In my honest opinion, I think they showed grit.
It was grit, and it was also that hit. It was who was it? Was it
Pavelski?
Yeah, Pavelski. And they knocked Pavelski out.
They said we're not going to take it.
It galvanized the team, and it pissed us off. And we said, to hell with that, and we pretty much beat Minnesota's ass. Because that is what happens. As a player, when you see one of your players get hit by a dirty play, it galvanizes the team. And what did we do? We targeted that player, and he really didn't do much more throughout that series. What's his name?
Dumbass.
Excuse me. Dumba.
Hey, no swearing on this show.
I said bass.
Yeah, sure you did.
I said dumbass. Bass is a
whoa, karma. Karma. Oh, do you see what I see?
What's that?
Dumba pretty much derails Pavelski.
Right.
We beat him because we got angry. Okay, we fight with Seattle. It was a pretty good fight.
Yeah.
Not too much bad happened there. You know, we just continued to chug along. Jamie does the Jamie thing. Vegas turns around and eats our lunch. Karma.
Yeah. And then what hurt him was putting Ben back in there. And I guarantee you that Golden Knight coaching staff use psychology, because as a coach, that's one thing that you use is psychology. And put it in their heads. Look at these guys. They don't care. They're putting that butt head, you know, I'm sure they probably use other words, other colorful language, but, you know, they're putting that Ben back in there. What are we going to do? Are we going to stand for that? Are we going to let him do that to us again? No, we're not going to do that. We're going to come out. We're going to punch him in the mouth. You know, you're adding fuel to the fire. Once again, I'm going to bring it back to football. And this is one of the analogies that I know, because I know it so well, because I was a huge Titans fan at the time, the year that the Titans made it to the Super Bowl. In the AFC Championship game, I think it was the AFC Championship game, we were going against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were the hot team. In fact, they were picked. We were underdogs. Big-time underdogs. Coach Jeff Fisher, somehow, I don't know how, but somehow he got a leaked tape where the Jaguars made this song, kind of like the Super Bowl shuffle that the Chicago Bears had done, basically saying that the Titans had no shot against them. They were already doing it. It was like a modernized Super Bowl shuffle that the Jaguars had done, because they knew they were going to be in the Super Bowl that year. They already knew it. So Jeff Fisher, the night before the game, doesn't have this rah-rah speech or anything like that. Doesn't come out, do one for the Gipper type speeches, you know, give them hell. All he simply does is say, guys, I want you to watch this, and I want you to think, where's their mindset, and what do they think of you as a team and as players? And he played that video. And we came out and we stomped them, I think, 41-14.
Oof.
And I will never forget it. I will never forget it. And they told that story halfway through the game about Jeff Fisher getting his hands on that tape. And I'm telling you, as a fan, I was furious with the Jacksonville Jaguar organization. So, you know, psychology, you know, you can take the worst team in the league and you give them motivation enough to beat you, they're going to beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Knights weren't the worst team in the league. In fact, in my opinion, and I said this earlier on in the season, that the Golden Knights were going to be our biggest threat this season.
Mm, you did.
So why would you even think to give them any kind of added motivation in a crucial win or go home situation? You keep Ben set. It ain't gonna hurt him to miss another game. He's not benefiting you. You keep your lines the way they were the past two games that won for you. The chemistry is there. And you know what? Maybe some players didn't want to play for Ben at that point. And there's another factor that some people may not even be thinking of. Wait, you're bringing him back after what he just did? And yeah, I understand he's my teammate, but that was despicable. You know, that he could have hurt that. You know, he could have hospitalized that kid.
You know what's funny, though? Not to cut you off, they probably wouldn't tell you that because they're the type of group that plays for the name on the front and not the names on the back.
True. They're not going to tell you that. But
they're not going to tell you a single peep.
You can't tell me that some of those players don't have that in the back of their mind.
I mean, I don't know about them, but I can tell you that I'd have that in the back of my mind. Like, he's a liability now. Like, easily.
Yeah, and the players, they got moved around. wait a minute, what are you doing? We were just winning. Why would you move us around? Just to accommodate one player. Why would you do this? You're reinventing the wheel when it doesn't need to be reinvented.
Yeah. And, you know, I've asked you several times before, you know, before we even had this show, where's the disconnect this time? Between the players and management and leadership, where is it? I have my opinion on it, but I want to hear yours first. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying. I'm, you know, honest and truly, I think the disconnect is the coaching staff didn't communicate with the players and say, guys, what do you think about this? Do you think we should bring Ben back? Instead, they just said, we're the coaches. We know what's best. They didn't go to their players and say, hey, is this line? And once again, I'm just going to say this because it's the truth. And this is, read his books, you know, learn from, you really should learn from the coaches that have been successful against odds. Not just coaches that were successful because they're just, there's just some coaches that are successful. I'm talking about coaches that are successful when the odds are against them. Those are the coaches you want to study and figure out what is it they do. So one of the things that Herb Brooks did was he was constantly talking to his players. Does this line work for you? Do you think this is the line that we should take with us to the next game? Yes, this is the line. This is who we want to play with. Do we have good chemistry with these three? Okay, well then this is the line.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with the Stars, it is the coaches and the players, and it's not a team. It's not the coaches going to the players and saying, hey, we're thinking of switching this up. What do you think? I think that's a bad idea. I think, you know, of course, you're the coach, and I'm going to respect whatever you have to say. But in my opinion, I think we've got good chemistry. We've won two games. This line should not change. We should keep these lines how they are right now. At least you get that in, that input. Now, I'm not saying that that didn't happen. It might have happened. But maybe the players didn't want to step up and say, no, I think it's a bad idea. Maybe they're too afraid. I don't know. However, I think communication is where our disconnect is. There's no up and down communication. It just seems like it all trickles down from the top, and however it plays out, it plays out.
I kind of feel the same way, but I kind of have a little twist on it. Right, because I feel like, you know, you got the team leadership out there, the C's and the A's and all that, right? And, you know, I think that's how it works. They're in charge of the other group, right? And so if somebody's going to do the talking, it ought to be the other group to the leadership, and the leadership bring it to the management. And if somebody does have, this is why I feel like they have no backbone as well, which I harped on God knows how many times. I don't think they have the backbone to speak up. I don't even think Jamie Benn as the captain, nor Tyler Seguin as an alternate. I'm sorry, Tyler. I love you to death. You're one of my favorite players. But I think this team lacks leadership backbone to speak up in that situation. I think they lack the backbone to speak up to the younger players if they're doing something that's lacking. I mean, Jamie Benn and his little snafu mistake, whatever you want to call it, that's living proof. I like the management. I like Jim Neal. I like what he's done for the team. I like DeBoer. He's lived up to his reputation. First year of coaching a team, Western Conference Finals. They lost. It's been consistent for him. Yep. So why did he lose? That right there is what brings me to the leadership thing. Why did he lose? one of the times that he had some really good luck, who was under him? Joe Pavelski. Who was he at that point, Mr. Pavelski? He was a San Jose captain. Okay? That C and that A needs to mean something.
Yeah, and you know what? You really do kind of get the feeling that those are more just, you know, placeholders.
You don't really
get the feeling of those are the leaders on the ice.
I feel like, and this is just the outside looking in, you know, I study everything. I can't help it. It's what I was programmed to do with everything that I've learned. I study everything, and I feel like they're just a bunch of yes men. Maybe I'm wrong. I probably am. I'm not in the locker room. But you had a couple years ago where they were in series and fighting tooth and nail, and there was a video that leaked out of Anton Hudobin yelling, "We're not going home!" You know, you can find it on YouTube. Those dudes were not playing for anybody but the dude next to them. And I find myself wondering, God love them. I love this crew. I really do. I had high hopes for them because, you know, the beginning of the season showed me, hey, maybe they can do what most people think they can't. A lot like the rest of the Stars fans, and that's why it soured me. Who are they playing for? And what kind of example are you setting for Wyatt Johnston, the only rookie I can name off the top of my head because Delandrie has been in and out of the lineup? What kind of example are you setting for Mr. Johnston, who comes in there just like, yeah, I'm ready to go. What do you want me to do? Let's do it. Right?
I agree.
Who's the team leader? You said...
We had a discussion not long ago about who's leading this team.
Yeah. Who is it? And if... Okay, ooh, this really irks me. Because you know how I was raised, and you being military, you understand it well yourself. If Jamie Benn has no killer instincts, do you think the rest of them's going to have it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. And that's why I was saying, you know, leadership is going to set the tone.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. When you're down 2 goals and you're in an elimination situation, you have got to get a sense of urgency. And it needs, you know, I just did not feel that the other night with this team. There was no sense of urgency. They were playing like they were, it was still 0-0.
Oh, shoot, dude. They've done that multiple times this playoff season and the regular season.
But I'm just saying the other night, it was really egregious. You know, what the other times when they did it in this series, it was not a win or go home situation.
Right. But they should have been playing every game like it was.
They should have been playing every game like it was.
Every game, from 1 to 7.
So what do you think they need to do? What's your opinion? What do they need to do to fix this?
I don't even know where to start. You can't blame it on DeBoer. It's his first year.
And I hope they give him another year. I hope it's not kind of one of those one and done because, you know, you didn't make it to the Stanley Cup.
Well, he signed till 2026.
I know, but you know how that goes.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's safe because, you know, they were a complete turnaround from the year before. But the year before, they were missing people because they were in the Stanley Cup the year before that. Or the year before that, one or the other. I can't remember now. My ears are running together. Holy crap. But see, why? Virtually the same group. They played for each other. They made it all the way to Stanley Cup Finals. They rode a hot goalie, much like Vegas did against Dallas. By the way, Aiden Hill, he's like a backups to the backup, if you don't.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. For a goalie, he's a phenomenal goalie. He's got a very bright future.
It was just red hot. Look at his goals against average. Look at his history. He's just red hot, and the team in front of him or behind him, however you want to say it, played like that. Huh?
They backed him up, too.
Yeah. That's what the Stars are missing. They're missing the backbone to make a play on that two-inch piece of rubber. And you can't blame being afraid of hitting because of a penalty on that. You know, have some backbone. If you get penalized for making a penalty like that, you did your job. Leave it up to the referee at that point. Hope and pray they don't score. You know, if you know you did the right play at the right time, run with it. It's like I said one of the other shows, like, there is a good time to take a penalty. There really is. You stop them from a breakaway, okay, a hooking call. No biggie. Just stop the penalty. Stop the power play. They had the penalty kill to do it. Say again?
Yeah, and we've proven this season that we're really good at killing penalties.
I mean, if you're going to commit a penalty, be smart about it. Here's looking at you, 14. Like, and that hurts me to say because I love him to death. But, you know, this question that's been in my head a lot, like with past favorite football players and whatnot, if you're doing stupid stuff just to be able to play, is it time for you to hang him up? People are saying he's slow. People are saying he's this. People are saying he's that. People are saying he's dirty. Mr. Ben, I'm tired of defending you. I'm tired of defending the team leadership as a whole.
Yeah.
Wyatt Johnston, Ty Dellandrea, who freaking else? Rupe Hintz. Who else? I know I'm missing somebody. Dodonov. Domi. Those guys all made the A's and the C's look like, what's the clean word I'm thinking?
Sure made the A's and C's look like a joke.
There you go, like a joke. Thank you. I was looking for the clean word, but I couldn't find it. I just wanted to come out and say what I was thinking, and you knew what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, you're not going to get rid of the C after 10 years. Well, you might, because you put the C on Madonna after Hatcher, if I remember correctly. Something like that.
Yeah.
Madonna ended up with the C sometime after Hatcher, so maybe there's a possible change. But if you got a C on a guy that's a, oh, I'm going to lead by example. Man, sitting on somebody is not the example. It's not. I mean,
No, it's college frat boy stuff, you know.
You don't even see that crap in college hockey. Tantruming. Come on, man, grow up there.
No, it's something you would see in a pickup game.
Yeah, beer league. Friggin' the beer gut beer league. 38-year-old want to play hockey, never could. That league. Not NHL. Todd Fedorik, y'all remember him, Philadelphia Flyers, supposedly dirty player because he hit, and he hit whenever he could, yada yada. Dirty player because of that. Okay, we'll give him that label. Jamie Benn, tantrums. Dirty player? Borderline, yes. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of defending it. And that, I think, because I know we need to probably shorten this up, or unless you got time to keep going.
I got some stuff I got to get done here in a few minutes.
I think the weakness is leadership. I really do. And you can't blame it on the coaches. You can't blame it on the GM. He's trying. Look at what he did with Domi.
Signed Domi.
Oh, that's a good topic for the next show, because I have a list of UFAs and RFAs. Maybe we should talk about that next. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay, well, quick thoughts to close out the show, because I know you got to go, and I do too. I think the House Cats, the Florida Panthers, I think they sweep Vegas. And I think that's your new... Go ahead.
I see that as well. They just seem like they're a team of destiny. I told you that even before the series started with the Knights and the Stars. I said, who's going to beat Florida?
Yeah, you did. That was a fun conversation.
I don't know if anybody can beat Florida. I think they're your Stanley Cup champions this year. And I agree. I think I could see them too.
To close it out, though, that's the difference between talent and hard work. Florida, 8th seed, they're willing to do it to get there.
Yeah.
Vegas, luck, hot goalie. And that, my friends, is all I have left to say for this episode of the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast. Okay, Fitz, what about you?
I agree, and I think Florida's got more determination, and I would bet on a determined team over a lucky team any day and twice on Sunday.
Well, Stars got screwed in my eyes, but hey, we're here rooting for the Panthers. At least you should be. And on that note, did you say yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a good way to end. Thank you guys for your time, for listening. Thank you for the time on the network for the show. Go ahead.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, dude. You know I love you to death. And on that note, I'll see you next week.
Yep, next week.
Rock on. We'll see you guys then. Thanks for listening.